After waiting for that clock up there, I'm going to go by mine. Good morning. That didn't sound very convincing. Good morning. That's better. It actually is a good morning. You know, how many this morning when you woke up, you felt like getting up? Hold up your hand. If you felt like getting up this morning, you know, that's good. There's a lot of mornings I wake up, I don't feel like getting up. But this morning, I went to bed early last night. And this morning, I actually felt like getting up. And that's a good thing, too. And then you looked out the window this morning. And how many felt like going outside this morning? Different story. It's raining. But you know, I like to, sometimes when I have Sunday schools like this, I like to start with a hymn that I remember from my childhood. It's not on the hymn sheet, and it's not in the hymn book we normally use. And some of you may have never heard it before, but I'm going to start singing it, and I'm going to expect those who remember it to sing it with me. But before I sing it, I want you to think about why it's a good morning. You know, I was thinking about this morning, I was looking out the window and thought, well, it is a good morning. Because I think about the rich man that says he died and he lifted up his eyes in hell. Was that a good morning? No, that was not a good morning for him. There's nobody here that lifted up your eyes in hell this morning. We're here in a day of God's goodness and grace. Heavenly sun, shine.
Heavenly sun, shine, filling my soul with glory divine. Heavenly sun, shine. Heavenly sun, shine. Hallelujah, Jesus is mine.
Blessed Lord Jesus.
You know, I think of another morning. There was a man one morning. Maybe he didn't sleep very well. But he woke up. He got up anyway. And that was the day he was doomed to die. And they led him out to crucify him beside the Lord Jesus. And he said to the Lord Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And all of a sudden, that man's day was changed. It was a bad morning, but it was a good evening for him. It's wonderful to know the Lord Jesus. So let's sing off the back of the song sheet. As it says right at the top, children's hymns and choruses. Let's sing a few of these. And we'll proceed with some other things. Does anyone here on the front row have a choice? Yes. Number 40. All right, number 40.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to
him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes.
Jesus loves me, he will die, and speak to me.
Some people here aren't singing yet this morning. I don't know if they're awake yet or not. So on the next time we sing the chorus, everybody here who's over 50 drops out. Okay? The next time we sing the chorus, Jesus loves me. Everybody here who is over 50, I hope you don't mind my making this little distinction. Everybody over 50 drops out and we'll hear the younger folk sing. All right. Isn't it nice to hear you're younger when you're under 50? All right. Verse 4.
Jesus loves me still.
This morning who were singing that I couldn't hear, but the Lord Jesus could hear them. Remember that. Even if the speaker up front can't hear you, the Lord Jesus can. And he's listening. All right, I have another choice from the back sheet. The back of this hymn sheet. Anybody else here have a choice? Yes, what number? That one, number 46. Number 46. Glad, TIDINGSIBRING. Glad tidings. This word tidings, that big word tidings, just means news. Glad news or good news I bring that Jesus has come to save me. Number 46.
Glad, TIDINGSIBRING.
That kind of goes with a verse that we sung earlier, though I enjoy, and this we sung number 40, and verse 3 says, Jesus loves me though I'm bad. If there's anybody here who's ever been bad, hold up your hand, please. Yeah. Sometimes we don't want to hold our hand very high. But the fact is, the older we get, the higher we feel like holding it. So we know Jesus loves me though I'm bad. And then this hymn we sang, it says, and he wants all the girls, and he calls all the girls, and he wants all the boys too, to trust in him and have all their sins now washed away. Wonderful to have all our sins washed away. You say, how does that happen? Well, the Bible tells us the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleans us from all sin. And we have to take God's word for it. Because it's God's work. He figured it all out. He provided the Savior, the Lord Jesus. And He takes care of the sins that we can't take care of. Now, we have time for one more. Any more choices on the front row? Well, you already chose one. Anyone else? I'll give a choice to someone elsewhere. No choices on the front row. Anybody else have a choice? This is your chance.
41.
All right. You know, this was... I had a son. His name was Joseph. And he went to be with the Lord Jesus when he was 6 years old. And this was his favorite hymn. Number 41.
Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. Children whose sins are all forgiven will heavenly anthems ring, singing glory, glory, glory to God. Shining robes of spotless white, each one will be arrayed, dwelling in everlasting light and joy that never fades, singing glory, glory, glory to God. Brings them to that world above, that heaven so bright and fair, where all is peace and joy and love. How came those children there, singing glory, glory, glory to God. Because the Savior shed His blood to wash away their sin, now washed in that most precious blood, behold them white and clean, singing glory, glory, glory to God on high.
Let's pray. Now, there was a memory verse in the Sunday school paper last week. I wondered if anybody here knows what that memory verse was. Anybody in the front row know what that verse was? Do you know? What is it?
In the day of my trouble, I'll call upon thee, and thou wilt answer me, Psalms 86:7.
Very good. Can anybody else repeat that verse? Anybody on the front row? Do you know that verse? Go ahead. You want me to help you? I'll get my Bible because my memory's not that good. I'm glad that we agree what the verse was. That's always a comfort to me. Psalm 86, verse 7. Now, do you want to say the verse? All right. In the day. Very good. Anybody else? Go ahead.
In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, and thou wilt answer me. Psalm 86:7.
Very good. Anybody else?
Behind me.
Oh, you say the verse? Let's go. In the day.
In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, and thou wilt answer me. Psalm 86:7.
Very good. Very good. Anybody else? Okay.
In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, and thou wilt help me. Psalm 86:7.
All right. Very good. Anybody else? I got bad eyesight, so if I need to see something, people are welcome to help me. Anybody else want to say the verse? Okay, I'm going to give you one little inducement here. I brought along some ribbons. And anybody who says the verse this morning gets to come up to this table afterward and choose a ribbon. Anybody else want to try? Anybody else want to earn a ribbon? All right, we're going to talk about this verse. Now, it says, Psalm 86, verse 7, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee. Call upon thee. Who's the person here? Who is it? God, yeah. Just think of that. Calling God. Now, I've got here in my pocket something that I don't own. I had to borrow this. I'm a free man, but I've got a cell phone here. Can I call God on a cell phone?
No.
No. Well, you know, if I spoke into the cell phone, do you think God would hear me?
No.
Yeah, he did. God hears everything. But this is not how you call upon God. You don't need a cell phone for that. Isn't that nice? You pray. Absolutely. That's what we're talking about. Praying. Very important. It says here, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee. I will pray. Yeah, anybody, who here ever has trouble? You ever have trouble? Boy, some people have lived awfully good lives here. You know, if you haven't experienced trouble or recognized trouble, you will. Given any time in this world, because as we heard in the meeting yesterday, man's born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. And we have days of trouble. We have good days. We have days where things seem to go okay, and then days when we're distressed. We have trouble. It says, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee. Now, what is the use of praying to God? To wash away our sins with his blood. That's a good reason to call upon God. But let me ask you another. Let's think about this. Why do we talk to God? Why do we call upon God? Why do we pray? It's because he
saved us.
He saved us. There's more to it than that.
So that he can help us.
You're getting close. I see people with these all the time, and they pick it up and they start punching here, and they say hello, and what happens? Sometimes anyway, what happens?
Someone calls them.
Okay, well, that's true. But when they call somebody else, what does the somebody else do? Yes. What's that? Answer. You know, it's very frustrating when that happens to me quite frequently. I pick up a telephone, not usually a cell phone. I don't like cell phones. I have trouble with them. They're too smart for me. Anyway, I can manage an ordinary phone, but sometimes I misdial or I get a busy signal. It's frustrating when I call somebody and I want their attention and they don't answer. You know, it's wonderful that God always answers. God always answers. And that's why it says here, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, and thou wilt answer me. This person who wrote this, by the way, if you look in your Bible, so let's turn back to Psalm 86 here, verse 7. It says here, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Anybody looking at your Bible, do you know who said these words? Right at the top of the psalm, it says, who wrote this psalm? Who was it?
David.
Yeah. We know him as David the giant killer or King David. David the shepherd boy. David wrote this psalm. He had a relationship with the Lord. And so he can say, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee and thou wilt answer me. It was two-way. Now, I had thought about earlier about asking somebody, what are cell phones for?
Calling.
Is that all? What else?
Playing games.
You know, when people invited, when Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone, I don't think he ever had a thought of playing games with the telephone. By the way, I don't know if you're even aware that back around 1876, it's hard to believe the cell phone, that telephones have been around that long, over 100 and almost 150 years, telephones have been around. In 1856, Alexander Graham Bell invented the first telephone. And he wasn't thinking about playing games. What was the telephone originally for?
Calling.
And? Something else.
Texting.
No. No, Alexander Graham Bell wasn't thinking about texting. What else?
Leaving messages.
Well, sort of. We're still not getting the other side here. Asking for help. No. These phones here, they're not so distinct as the old phones, but the regular telephone, if you remember what a regular telephone looked like, sometimes they illustrate it this way, because you talk into this part and what? You listen. Telephones were for talking, speaking, and listening. Which is more important, talking or hearing? What's more important, talking or hearing?
Hearing.
I am so glad to hear that. You know, I've actually asked some adults, I can name some names of people I've asked over the years, what's more important, hearing or speaking? And I've had at least two people tell me, well, they're equally important. No. How many ears have you got?
Two.
And how many mouths have you got?
One.
Yeah. God gave us two ears because hearing is more important than talking. We need to remember that. Hearing is more important than talking. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you a verse that I think is very significant on this subject. I think I'm done with this. Thank you, David. Turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 2. This is a verse about, and what we're talking about this morning is a subject called communication. That's a big word. But communication just means talking, listening, and talking. It's communication is two-way. It's something like another word we use. Something like this other word. What's this top word on the board here? What is it? Conversation. But you know, I've been in places where there was conversation. There was more conversation than communication. I'll give you an example this morning. I went down to the breakfast room when my little granddaughter was joining in the conversation. Wah, 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 wah. She was in the conversation, but she wasn't communicating too much. We knew she was alive and apparently happy. That's nice. But I've been in conversations where people are actually speaking the same language and they weren't communicating because neither one was listening to the other person. There's a difference between conversation and communication. And so often we go to God and we tell him what we want, but we're not listening to what he wants. So that's not communication. That's just conversation. And conversation's good, but communication is much better. Now I'm going to read this verse in Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, verse 2 says, "A fool has no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself." Now, if you consult another translation, I think it'll be helpful to know that this last part of the verse means reveal himself. A fool has no delight in understanding, but that his heart may reveal itself. Here's a person who just wants to talk. He's not interested in listening. He just wants to express himself. And God says that's a fool. You know, this world is full of fools. You know, there are a lot of these people that are so-called artists. They want to express themselves. They don't communicate anything worthwhile, but they want to express themselves. It says here, a fool has no delight in understanding. Let me ask you a question. If I don't listen, am I going to understand?
No.
You're right. How old are you?
Four.
That's a great lesson to know when you're 4 years old. We don't understand if we don't listen. And we need to listen more than we talk. But what we have in this verse here is a person who, he's not interested in listening. He just wants to talk. And you see a person who talks more than they listen, what is God saying that person is? A fool. That hits most of us pretty hard. It's important to listen. Now, I'm going to start telling a story and see who can tell me who I'm talking about. There was a boy once who lived in a temple. And God spoke to him. Who was he? Yes. No. Good guess, but it was just a guess. I don't see the hand, but who is it? Call out.
Samuel,
thank you. I'm glad to hear from way back there. Samuel. Now, think about Samuel. Who was the first person that Samuel ever heard, you suppose?
David.
Who do you think was the first person Samuel ever heard? Nope. Sorry. You had a lot of good answers this morning, but that wasn't one of them. Who was the first person you ever heard? Probably.
Parents.
Parents. Which one? Both? Well, I'll bet you heard your mother before you heard anybody else. Because Bible tells, or excuse me, not Bible, the science tells us that babies before they're born can hear their mother's voice. And Samuel heard his mother, and I'm sure he heard his parents. And after he heard his parents, who else did he listen to? Yes, God, but who? Somebody between his parents and God, even. The priest Eli. Remember, Samuel lived in the temple. I should probably have asked over here. Would have got the answer. Samuel lived in the temple with the priest Eli. And we know that Eli spoke to him. What I'm getting at is God speaks to us sometimes through other people. You know, I wasn't able to read my Bible until I was about 6 years old. But my parents told me about the Lord Jesus. God spoke to my heart through my parents. And God spoke to me through other people. And God speaks through his word. God speaks a lot of different ways. We need to learn to listen. God speaks through circumstances. He speaks through our feelings. He sometimes speaks through dreams. He speaks through events. Romans chapter 1 tells us that he speaks through creation. And our big job down here is to learn to listen to what God says. And so when you have conversation, that's a good start, but communication is better, and there's something even better than communication. Glad I brought two markers. All right. I'm sorry you young people are sitting so far back. What's the third word I wrote up there? Yes. Communion. Conversation is good. I heard my granddaughter doing that, but she hasn't got to the point of communication yet. But you know something even better than communication is communion. When we hear, we speak and we hear and we agree. That's communion. And God wants us all to come into communion. Now I'm going to tell you about another person. Another person in the Bible, God says God spoke to him and he ran. God said, go east and preach to Nineveh. And this man decided to go west. Who was that man?
Jonah.
Jonah. Very good. Very good. Jonah. It says the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And Jonah didn't want to hear it. And it says he went out from the presence of the Lord. Look it up in Jonah chapter 1. It says the word of the Lord came to Jonah and he ran from it. He went out from the presence of the Lord. I wonder, you know, we have Bibles. And we're here at a Bible conference where we talk about the word of the Lord. And we sometimes forget how significant it is. When God speaks, it says, when Jonah turned his back on the word of the Lord, he went out from the presence of the Lord. Because God's word and his presence go together. Maybe you've been sleeping here at this conference. Maybe you've been indifferent. But God's word and God's presence go together, and we've all been in God's presence because of his word. God is very jealous of his word. His word and his presence go together. And so it says of Jonah that when he turned his back on God's word, didn't want to obey, he went out from the presence of the Lord. But there's more to the story than that. You know, God, he didn't forget Jonah. Jonah wanted to forget what God said. And that's in the first chapter. But in the third chapter, the second chapter. Well, I better turn to Jonah and make sure I get my chapter straight. Yes. The beginning of the first chapter, says the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And Jonah turned his back. But in the beginning of the second chapter, it says, then Jonah prayed. But a lot happened between those two times. Jonah didn't want to hear the Lord. And so what did Jonah do? Who can tell me what Jonah did? He went west, right. He went west and he got on a ship that was going a different direction altogether. And he went down the bottom of the ship and he ended up in the bottom of a ship in the middle of a storm. And the sailors threw him overboard and he went into the ocean and then a fish swallowed him. And it says, then Jonah prayed. You say,
never hide from God.
You could never hide from God. You're right. Right down there in the belly of the fish, God saw Jonah, and Jonah started to talk to God. You say, why did Jonah wait so long? I mean, he went into the boat, he went into the bottom of the boat, he went into the sea, he went into the fish, and it wasn't until he'd been there 3 days, it says, then Jonah prayed. Do you think if you were in the stomach of a fish for 3 days, you'd wait 3 days before you prayed? I hope not. I would hope not. But, you know, that's the way we are in our hearts. Sometimes we're just so stubborn, like Jonah was, that we don't pray when we should. Maybe we feel like praying, but you say, no, we say no. I'm not going to do it. Because, you see, when we pray, we acknowledge that God is God and that we are not God. We're not in charge. We are dependent. We are helpless, really. And finally, Jonah realized he was helpless. He said, in the fish here for 3 days, and he couldn't see any future down there. But, you know, he knew about God. He had confidence in God. And, you know, the wonderful thing is that the psalmist that we referred to earlier, David, and Jonah, even, by the way, if you look in the Bible, you'll find Jonah mentioned in another book of the Bible, because Jonah had previously a relationship with God. He was an established prophet. Jonah knew there was a God and that he could pray to God and God would answer. And so it says, then Jonah prayed. What happened after Jonah prayed? Yes. The fish spat him out. Yes, I don't blame the fish at all. I wouldn't want any Jonah in me. But God was over the whole thing. And God engineered, he arranged the whole thing. Because he wanted Jonah. God had a purpose for Jonah. God had a purpose for these people in Nineveh, but he also had a purpose for Jonah. Jonah needed to learn obedience and submission. Those are the big lessons in life. And, you know, there's no such thing as communion without obedience and submission. So we have three things up on this board here. Conversation, communion, communication, and communion. And I'm going to put one more word up there. But before I do, I want to tell you, I want to suggest a little something. We have about five minutes left here. You know, Jonah was on a boat. Anybody else here ever been on a boat before?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you like to go on a boat again?
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm going to take 5 minutes and real quickly here, ask you about a boat. There's some of you here have seen this illustration. We're going to talk about a boat. You have a chance to go on a boat, on a cruise, on a ride on a boat. And I did that once. I remember the first time I ever remember being in a boat. Now, maybe it wasn't the first time, but the one is very memorable. I'll tell you why. My grandfather, who lived not too far from here in Iowa, he had a mill pond on his farm. He had a windmill and he had a mill pond. And I was down by that pond one day and I saw a boat there. And the boat was just sitting there on the edge of the pond. And I thought, well, that'd be neat to get in there and take a little ride, just across the pond. So I got into the boat and pushed off from shore. And the boat immediately started filling with water. The boat was totally rotten. But nobody had ever warned me. And I didn't know anything about rotten boats in those days. But I know one thing quick. As soon as I saw the water start rising in that boat, as soon as I got in, I didn't really push off from shore. As soon as I stepped into the boat, the boat started to go down. And I immediately scrambled out of the boat. I knew that wasn't a trustworthy boat. So is it important to have a boat you can trust? Yeah. Suppose I said, well, you're going to go for a ride in a boat, and we don't know anything about the builder, whether he's had any experience building a boat before. And this captain, this boat, we don't know if he's ever captained a boat before, and we don't know if he knows where he's going, and we don't know anything about the crew that might be helping him. As far as we know, they have no experience with boats. Is that the kind of boat you want to go on? What do you think here? How many would want to go on that kind of boat, normally speaking? I don't see a lot of hands. All right, we'll try another boat. Here's boat B. And we know for a fact that the person who designed the boat and the people who built the boat, very experienced. They've done lots of boats before, been very successful. Very experienced crew, very experienced captain. Oh, and one thing I forgot to say, boat A, far as we know, the captain doesn't even know where he's going. Boat B, they have a definite destination. Which would rather be on boat B? Yeah, normally speaking, oh, come on, these people aren't very enthused about cruises here this morning. All right, so which of these boats appears more popular, boat A or boat B? B, right, all right. Now, some of you have seen this illustration and you've been good sports and played along with it, and you'll be gratified to know the name of boat B. What about boat A? It didn't sound very good. The Titanic. Now, some of you young people don't remember the Titanic. Matter of fact, there's nobody here remembers the Titanic. But you know of hearing about it. The Titanic was a boat that sunk on its first big voyage in 1912. But it was a famous ship. A beautiful ship. People still talk about it because it was the best that man could do at the time. And it sunk with a lot of famous, rich people on it in its first big voyage. And God told some man to build an ark. Says the Lord said to Noah, build an ark, a boat. And Noah obeyed the Lord. And that made all the difference. What I'm saying is, boys and girls, men and women, brothers and sisters, we've got the Word of God. And it makes all the difference in the cruise of life. If you trust in yourself, in your wisdom, and your knowledge and your experience. Experience is a great thing, but you trust that you're going to end up like the Titanic. You can trust the Word of God. God told Noah what to do, and he did it. And was Noah's voyage successful? Yes, it was. Because Noah listened to what God said. Let's listen.